This man I know is into text messaging with former players here and there. Tim Corbin joins us. Tim, what's going on this morning?
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing well. Vanderbilt baseball coach as the Commodores head into the tournament on Friday against Middle Tennessee State. And you had to be really proud of the way your guys played down in Birmingham. I thought Caleb Cotham was awesome in that game Saturday. And you make it to the final. Didn't win the championship, but all in all, it was a great weekend for you guys.
Yeah, I thought we represented ourselves pretty well. It's an area that, a tournament that we've always really felt comfortable in. And I think the older kids did a good job with the younger kids going into it because we had a lot of people on the field that had never played in Birmingham before. But it's almost like there's a comfort zone once we get down there and always have played well.
Tim, you guys pitched especially well, beginning with Miner in the first game, maybe one of the best games he's ever pitched against LSU. And I think, you know, we spoke to you for all intents and purposes. That might have been the game that got you into the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I think so. I think with the weight of the game and what it meant, definitely Mikey stepped up and pitched as well as, you know, he's ever pitched. He's pitched a lot of big games, but I think that game right there and Price's game against Austin Peay in the first game of the regional where he went against the Kelly kid who's now in the big leagues, and they're going head-to-head, matching each other pitch for pitch, and Mikey doing it against a team that, frankly, I think the best team we've seen and maybe the best team in the country. I think they're a definite Omaha team. I don't think anyone's going to step in their way, but I think they did such a nice job of shutting them down.
You face Middle Tennessee. You've seen them before. Bryce Brent's really their big gun. He's just had an unbelievable year, not only as a hitter, but he's a pretty good pitcher. But what impresses you about him at the plate?
The fact that he hits Pedro-type balls in terms of the backspin he gets on balls to all parts of the field. I mean, really can hit anything. He hits breaking balls, change-ups, fastballs. The harder he throws, the better he is. He's just a... just in the zone. He's been in the zone all year, but he's a tremendous player. He's going to play for Team USA, and I think he's one of the best hitters that we've seen, if not the best hitter. I'd rate him up there with the Mathis kid from Alabama. But you know what? I like Raleigh Bishop, the third baseman, just as much, and I like Nathan Hines just as much. I mean, those are two kids, three kids if you're talking about Brents, who could play on SEC teams and hit 2, 3, 4, 5 anywhere in that part of the order. So Steve's got a very potent offensive team.
What impresses you about Roberts, who you're probably going to see in that first game? He doesn't seem to be a power pitcher, but you look at his strikeouts to walk ratio, and it's obvious that he's got pretty good command.
Yeah, we're trying to learn a little bit more about him because you know when you play midweek, you don't get to see a guy like that. But his numbers are very impressive. So obviously, he's a winner. And he's a strike thrower. I mean, he's been their go-to guy. And Brent started off as a Friday guy. But I think, you know, with Brent being such a potent hitter, it was probably tough for him to do that. But Roberts, it seems like they've leaned on him more as the season has progressed. So left-hander, he's got a pretty good arm. He doesn't have power numbers, but he's got a pretty good arm. And I think he's got a pretty good assortment of pitches. So, again, tough challenge. He's a in-state Murfreesboro kid, which is always good to see. And I don't know. We're going to have to find out a little bit more about him because we don't have a good visual of him right now.
How much do the midweek games you've played against Middle and against Louisville help you heading into this deal? You're not going to see the same type pitchers that you saw in those games, but it has to help you at least to scout the hitters in some respects.
Yeah, I think in some ways the known of what Louisville is, the known of what Middle Tennessee State is, and I think the important part for us is we played on that surface, which was good to see because we really haven't played on that field turf before until we got to Louisville. We've taken ground balls over at the football stadium, but we never have done it, you know, in a game. So it was good to go there and play. I like the field. It's decently sized. It's not really small, which is good for our pitchers and good for our defense. And we played very good defense in Birmingham. We made just 2 errors in 34 innings, and those 2 errors came just on small errant plays in the last game. But I like the fact that we played against Middle Tennessee State before, so we kind of know them, and they know us. The only thing they don't know and we don't know is the starting pitchers. In Louisville, we've done the same thing.
Tim, how do you like your team's confidence coming out of this tournament? Do you feel like it's high? These kids feel like that they can go a long way, get out of this bracket, if you will, and keep moving on? Or is it your job to keep prodding along, keep pushing them, and keep that confidence instilled in them?
Yeah, I think they're pretty confident now, and they should be. I think they were very disappointed after the last game, as they should be too. I mean, I don't want them to think that anything is unreachable right now, even though they have high expectations themselves. But I think from a national perspective, there's probably not much expectation with a team like us. But I think their confidence is good. They played three very good games. They ran around the field with a lot of confidence and looked like a winning team and played very clean baseball. But this is another week, and you know we've been a little bit up and down during the course of the year. I'm just hoping that what we did in Birmingham will kind of sustain itself for a little bit, and I do think we can be successful because of the pitching. I think you roll Mikey out there, and he gives you a chance to win every time. Sonny Gray at this point is as good a pitcher as what we've had at this time of year in all the years I've been here.
Wow.
Because we had, you know, Price and Minor that one year, and Minor was really good. But, you know, Sonny steps up there, and he's just different. The way he acts on the bus, the way he acts, you know, in the hotel, he's just, not that he's arrogant, that's not saying that at all. He just acts like a kid who's been around, and he carries himself very well. And then you get a guy like Cotham who came back and threw 105 pitches with a kind of a torn meniscus. Well, kind of. He does have one, and he's had to manage it. But that's getting our number two starter back, and we're using him number three. So if we play defense and we pitch like we have, hitting, that comes and goes, and we're not a great hitting team, but you don't really need to be in tournament play if you can hold people down and pitch the way we do.
As far as Sonny Gray goes, how have you seen him progress as a pitcher, just as far as his maturity on the mound, mixing up his pitches, his speeds? Talk about just what he has done to get to this point, and basically what you said is that he's as fine a pitcher at this point in time of the year as you have ever had.
You know what he's done is he's learned how to pitch a little bit more and adapt to the college game quicker than most, because he was a power pitcher. And I think when you're a kid his size that throws the way he does, he's had a lot of success throwing the ball by people. And why not? You know, if you've done that, you think you can do it to everyone. But it really doesn't matter. If you throw four-seam fastballs that are 96, 97, you might get hitters one time through, but second time through you're not. What he's been able to do is he's already added a lot of movement to a two-seamer that has some sink and run to it, so it's very effective against left-handed hitters. He's been able to take something off his breaking ball and add another speed to it so he can slow it down. And as I told him going into Birmingham, I said, you need to throw the ball 75 miles an hour sometimes. I said, you need to be able to get guys to put the ball in play so your pitch count doesn't run up there, much like Price last night. Of getting the fourth or fifth inning and being at 80, 90, 100 pitches. You got to be able to pitch into the seventh, eighth inning. And I said, if the ballpark allows you to do it, then you're stupid not to do it, because you want to get guys out in front, make them hit the ball up in the air, roll over balls. And I think that's the difference right there. He's very quick to learn, and he understands that, okay, I'm not going to throw the ball by everyone. I can make this ball that I throw 95 miles an hour seem like 100 if I slow some balls down. And I think that he's adapted very well to the college game.
Vanderbilt baseball coach Tim Corbin is our guest. You talk about how offense comes and goes, but a guy who's just knocked the cover off the ball for you this year is Aaron Westlake. He's one of those guys, you kind of know it when you see it. He has the kind of sweet swing that can take him a long way, doesn't he?
I think so. He's really big, too, and he's strong, and he's just going to get stronger. He's 230 pounds and carries himself well. He's got a short memory. I know we've talked about him a little bit before, but he does. If he makes an out, he comes back and is able to forget it. I talk about body language and confidence with him quite a bit, because as big as he is and as strong as he looks, he's still an 18-year-old kid, so he's learning every day. But boy, those, some of the balls he hits to the opposite field, and the ball he hit at Hoover the other day off the scoreboard that was traveling about 450 feet was a monster shot. But he really has a decent idea of hitting, and he works at it too.
Timmy, you've been on both ends of it, where you went in, as a number one seed into the postseason, which brings some unique pressures. But now you've got a team that doesn't, that's pretty young, that you've really kind of brought along. You've burped it. You've really kind of sort of managed it to to reach this point of the season, how exciting is it for you, you know, from a coaching perspective, to finally see these kids grow up and a lot of them have their first NCAA tournament experience?
You know, Mark, the two goals that I had for this team was to try to get, you know, all the way to the final game of the SEC tournament and have a chance to win it, and then was to get to a regional and have a chance to win it. And I thought that would be huge for this team because, you know, you had so many of them coming back here for the next 2 or 3 years. And the way they progressed, I mean, we got through a season in which we didn't even have a starting catcher for the first 3 weeks of the SEC season. And then, you know, the injuries to Cotham and just the inexperience and so on. So to get the group to this point, kind of manage an SEC tournament, be successful, and then get to a regional, I like it because I just think that right now their confidence level is good. They're definitely not spooked anymore. That was primarily the reason we went out to Stanford. I really wanted to get those things out of the way early, and whether that did that or not, I don't know, but I think the SEC season does that to you in itself. The thing with a young team, and I think it's really important, is that you can't, as I've told them, don't let the competition, which is very good, dilute your thoughts on what type of player you think you are, because you're going to fail, and you're going to fail hard, but you got to be able to be a quick recovery athlete here, because the SEC has a tendency to do that to a young kid. You're looking at a guy like Esposito, who is a Connecticut kid, and Loftus, who's a Minnesota kid. I mean, this SEC just kind of tears them up a little bit, and they can't get to the point where they doubt themselves and lose their confidence. And I think as a head coach, that's what you try to do. It's rebuilding, building, rebuilding, building, play, rewind. It's just that all the time during the course of the season. And I think what they've been able to do is manage that pretty well and stay above water. And hopefully that will help us here in this tournament.